I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Last time we looked at the subject of problems. Now we realize that all of us have problems in our lives. There's problems that come up that some of them are simply pretty easy, but some of them are pretty hard. Where do we need to turn? Where do we need to go to find help with those problems? I might be able to give you advice about problems. Your wife, your husband, your brother, your sister, or mother, or father may be able to give you some advice, but there's one that we need to turn to in order to solve the problems of our lives. And to find help, we need to begin with God and His Word. The Bible tells us that in Psalm 50 and verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." First, I believe that we need to call on the Lord in prayer. We need to seek Him. And then, as we do that, God will hear us. Psalm 116 and verse 1, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication." And then after we pray and we hear from God, well, how do we hear from God? God speaks according to Psalm 85 and verse 8. It says, "For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly." Well, how do we hear Him? We hear Him through His Word. His Word speaks to us. It's through the Word of God in the Bible that we have God speaking to us. And then after we listen to the Lord, we hear. We hear according to Psalm 85 and verse 8. It says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." Well, God has solved problems in our lives, and one of the greatest problems that man faces is how to get into God's holy heaven. How can a sinful person go to God's holy heaven? Well, why is getting into God's holy heaven a problem? First of all, it's because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God according to the Word of God. Romans 3:23 says that, and we need to receive Jesus as personal Savior. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." In Romans 6:23, in the last part of that verse says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." We look to God to solve the things in our lives, to solve the problems in our lives. But the greatest problem that could be solved is how to get in God's heaven. And God has solved that. He solved the greatest problem, the salvation of our souls. If He's able to do that, then certainly He is able to solve all the other problems, the lesser problems that we have to face as we go through life. If God can save my soul, then certainly He can also save me from the problems that I face every day. Have you let God solve your biggest problem? Have you let God save you and forgive all of your sins? Have you received Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? You need to do that. You need to realize that the Lord wants you in His holy heaven. The way you do that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, that's the biggest problem that man faces, is how to get into heaven. And God doesn't want anybody going to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. So if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that right now. You shouldn't wait any longer. You need to accept the fact that He came, He lived a sinless, perfect life, He gave His life for you. He's God, and He died for your sins. Now, as God, He did not die, but as man, He did. He was God in the flesh. His flesh died. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and it's by His blood that we're saved. He gave His blood. He died. He was buried, and He resurrected on that third day that you and I could go to heaven. That is the greatest problem of all, is how we get into God's heaven. And He solved that for us by sending His only begotten Son into this world that we could have eternal life. The Bible cannot lie. The Bible says that. If you'll trust Him, the Bible says you don't have to wait to have that eternal life. You have the eternal life the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, you know, a lot of times we look at problems and we think that there is something that we name as a problem in our life that's really not a problem. And just as we have physical problems, those physical problems produce symptoms. We have symptoms in our lives as human beings. Not only do we face physical problems, but we face other problems. Now, I see one problem that people look at as a problem that's really not a problem, and that is worry. The word worry means anxiety, care, and it's that which divides or distracts the mind and which draws a troubled person's mind in different directions. And sometimes the word is used of a healthy and helpful concern and care. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, it says that there should be no schism in the body, no division in other words, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Paul here is speaking about the church. He's saying there should not be any divisions, but the members should have the same care one for another. In other words, we need to care for one another, and we need to be concerned. We don't worry, we have a concern. 2 Corinthians 11:28 says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, Paul says, the care of all the church. In other words, he was concerned for them, and he looked out for them. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul knew that Timothy would take care of the things that the church had need of, and he was acting in Paul's stead, and that would be the care or the concern for the church there. The word worry is also often used to describe an unhealthy and harmful concern and care. We sometimes find ourselves caught in a web of problems, just like the spider is in the web and catches a moth or something. The spider is the problem, and the moth, when that moth gets caught there, he certainly has a problem. He needs to get out of that web. But just as that moth is there, that would represent one of the symptoms that we have in our lives. When we have a problem, the problem most of the time will produce what is called a symptom. Now, if the root of the symptom is not dealt with, and that's the problem, then the symptom, the root, and that's the problem that produces a symptom, will lead to what is sometimes called the downward spiral. In other words, we find ourselves going down and down and down. So therefore, we must get to the root of the problem, and that is the problem that is producing the symptom. And in this case, we're looking at the word worry. Cares and concerns which divide and distract the mind are some of these things that we worry about. Some things that people worry about is found in Matthew 6:31. The Bible says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Exodus 15:24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And in Exodus 16:3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Of course, the children of Israel were murmuring against Moses and against God, and God, just as he tells us in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We shouldn't worry about the things of the future. We should concern ourselves with the things that are here now. And those things that we concern ourselves with should not be a problem. Those things that we concern ourselves with, realize that that God can take care of those things that come into our lives. Some people worry about what they will eat, what they will drink, or even if they will have clothes to wear. People worry about anything and everything. Some of the things to know about worry is this. Worry is disobedience, according to Philippians 4:6. The Bible says there, the Lord says this, be careful for nothing, Nothing, this means cares and anxieties. This means don't worry about anything, or do not worry about one thing, or stop worrying about everything. You cannot really serve God if you're in a state of disobedience, if you're in a state of worry. You should not be worrying about the problem. You need to work on the problem. Worry is also unbelief. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 talks about that. And the Lord Jesus gave some important instructions about worry in these verses. In this passage, Matthew 6, 30, it clearly indicates that worry is unbelief. It says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Well, the person who is troubled with worries and cares is really saying, "I do not believe that God loves me and cares for me and is able to take care of my problems." Worry and trust cannot live together in the same house. As long as trust abides, worry can never enter. When worry comes in, trust has already left. Worry starts where faith ends. And we can look at many different things in people's lives, and we can point and say, well, this problem, this person has this problem, that person has that problem. Well, it's up to the individual to get to the root of the problem. And remember, worry is a symptom. Worry is not the problem. And you need to understand that some of these symptoms can lead to other problems in our lives. Worry is good for nothing. Matthew 6, 27 talks about this, and worry has never been able to help anyone. Worry has never accomplished anything. Worry has never solved even one problem. Worry can look at problems, but it can never solve problems. Worry is useless and unprofitable. Worry does absolutely no good. Well, what about facing today? What should I do today? Worry or work? In Matthew 6, 34, it says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." In other words, each day has enough evil, trouble, and problems of its own. Worry is concern and anxiety over the future. Worry is about what might happen tomorrow. The fact is this: we do not know what will really happen tomorrow. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Well, what to do? Who does know what will take place tomorrow? God knows. We need to turn our lives over to the Lord. Let the Lord take the problems that we face. Let the Lord take the symptoms of those problems and let Him do away with those things. Let Him have them. Give your life to the Lord. Let Him take you completely and solve the problems in your life.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.